Morning. Today's daf in Sota is daf Chaf. We're on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the definitions of Machliba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are now going over Seder. We're going over order. Also, continue with Refuah Shlema for
new one. Leah Bat Miriam Feigl.
This morning we are starting. We are continuing from yesterday's daf, Yud Tes Amud Beis, and we're talking about Seder. We're talking about the correct order. The psukim are a little unclear in terms of what the correct order is at the end of the process of Sota. Meaning, the two things that are going to conclude the whole process is the Karban Mincha and her drinking of the May Sota. So, what exactly is the sequence? What's the order? So, if you remember the Mishnah we saw yesterday in Yud Tes Amud Aleph, so that was a machlokas. The Mishnah brought down. It's the first mission of the third parak. We started the third parak yesterday. The first mission of the third parak brought down the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. Tanakhama's opinion is that first you drink and then afterwards you bring the mincha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, just the opposite. You bring the mincha and then afterwards you drink. And as we're about to see right now, we're starting a braisa. We started yesterday, the braisa on the top of Yud Tes Amud Beis. So we're going to start from the very top of the amud. We did this yesterday, but just to get us to the beginning of the sugya again. And we're going to see once again this machlokas of what should be the correct order. Rashi points out in Yud Tes Amud Beis, you see the first Rashi. Rashi, first of all, has some girsa issues in the Gemara. But Rashi basically says, towards the middle of the Rashi, that there's certainly a motivation, there's an incentive to push off the drinking to the very end. Because, as we know, it's one of the, I don't know if you want to call it a highlight, but one of the more excitable points regarding the Sota is Mechikas Hashem. We're taking Shem Hashem, we're putting it into a glass of water. It's not a glass. It's earthenware. But we're putting it into a jug of water, and we're going to erase Shem Hashem. And to the best of our ability, we're going to try to avoid that. Meaning, an admission on her part, we're not going to do it. Basically, we're going to try our best to try to avoid this situation. We already discussed the Mishnayos earlier in the Masechta. We're going to do a number of things to try to get her to admit. Meaning, we really don't want Mechikas Hashem. So therefore, you're going to push it off to the very end. So there is an incentive, there's a motivation to take the Mechikas Hashem, meaning the drinking of the Sota water, which includes Mechikas Hashem, and push it all the way to the very end. There is that. On the other hand, also, there's Pesukim. I mean, it's, you know, you can't ignore the Pesukim. And what are the Pesukim telling us in terms of what the correct order is? So, Tana Rabbana, we are starting now in the very top of Yud Tes Amud Beis, V'Hishka, Matam Alomar. So the Gemara says, when the Torah says V'Hishka. Now, yesterday I went through the Pesukim inside, and we noted yesterday, as we're about to note once again today, is that on three occasions, the Torah describes Vihishka. Torah talks about how the Kohen is going to force her to drink the water. Once it mentions it before the mincha is offered, that's in Pasuk Chav Dalet, and then twice it mentions it after the mincha is offered. Now, there's only one drinking. It's not three drinkings. So the Torah is describing it three times, once before the mincha is offered and twice after the mincha is offered. And as I mentioned just a couple moments ago, that leads to the confusion of what should be the right order. Should we first have a drink and then offer the mincha? Or should we first offer the mincha and then have to afterwards have a drink? So this is what the Brice is dealing with. Now, the Brice over here, again, I mentioned this yesterday, but bears repeating as we start the Brice again. The Brice over here is going to record two opinions, one of Rabbi Shimon, the other of Rabbi Akiva. They agree that first you bring the mincha and afterwards you drink. They're in agreement to that. They are in disagreement about a couple of other details, but they're in basic agreement. Meaning that Rabbi Shimon of the Brice is consistent with Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah. That's good news. That's usually how things work out. And Rabbi Akiva of the Brice also is in agreement on this very fundamental issue of what should come first, the drinking or the mincha. So, and just a question now of how to understand the Pesukim. So, with all that stated, with that introduction, let's get going. Tana Rabbanan, we're starting at the top of Yud Tes Amud Beis. V'hishka matam alam ravalok var nemar v'hishka. I'm sorry. So the Brice is basically bothered by the very simple question. What's with the repetition? How do you understand the repetition? Shim nimcha kamegila v'ameris, and he shows them. Let's say you get to the point where we put the Shem Hashem in the cup of water. And her response is, and he shows them. No, I'm not drinking. So at that point in time, Ma'arin Osa, Mashkin Osa, Bakarcha. So Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, at that point in time, we're going to force her to drink. Meaning, it's too late. The Shem Hashem has been erased. Now Rashi points out over here, it's important to point this out, that what she's not saying is, I did it. It's not an admission. All she's doing is just simply saying, I'm not drinking. If she admits, says Rashi, and again, it'll be very clear from the Gemara that this is correct, if she admits that she did it, even after Mechikas Hashem, we're not going to drink. She's not going to drink the water, meaning it's an admission. That's it. The only purpose of her drinking is just to know what happened. Once she admits, so then the admission suffices, even after Mechikas Hashem. So over here, Rabbi Kiva's talking about forcing her to drink. It's only in a circumstance where her only claim right now is, or her only position right now is, no, I'm not drinking. If that's her only position, so then after Mechikas Hashem, it's simply too late. Rabbi Shimon Amar V'Acher Yishka. Now Rabbi Shimon says, it looks at the pasuk of Acher Yishka. Acher Yishka is the second mention of the of her drinking. Meaning, as I mentioned, in the psukim, there are three times that the Torah says Vishka. Once before the mincha, twice after the mincha. The pasuk V'Acher Yishka is the first time after the mincha. The Torah says V'Acher Yishka, you drink after. Meaning, the Torah is pretty clear that you're supposed to drink, the sota is supposed to drink after the mincha is offered. It says, v'achrishka. So, v'achrishka matam lama l'akar ne'amar v'ishka, elalach, komasim kulo amur lamala. So, Rabbi Shimon says, that's it. That's the pasuk that's telling you that she drinks after the mincha is offered. And now, magid gimel dvar ma'akvim ba. So, and Rabbi Shimon goes even further. Three things are going to hold back her drinking. Meaning, you need to do three things in order for her to drink. Number one, ashlo krava kometz. Number two, ashlo nimcha megillah. And number three, ashlo tzikah ba'alav shvua. So, three things have to happen. Number one, the mincha has to be offered. Number two, you have to do mechikas Hashem, erase Hashem's name in the water. And number three, she has to accept the shvua. So the Gemara analyzes all three points.
Why the first mishka before the mincha? The first mishka is,
you're in Chavdalen. You're in Pasuk Chavdalen.
Yes.
Okay.
So why is it?
So stay tuned. The Gemara's going to go through each one. Okay. Question good. Just wait. Give it a moment. So we have three. So three things hold back the her drinking. So the Gemara says, let's analyze all three things. Ashla krava kometz. So Gemara says, that's good, meaning that's exactly what we expect Rabbi Shimon to say. Rabbi Shimon latamid amar makrivas minchas v'achar kach mashker. So good, that's perfect, meaning this is Rabbi Shimon saying that the mincha is going to hold back the drinking. And in our Mishnah, that's the Seder, that's the correct order according to Rabbi Shimon. First offer the mincha, and then have her drink the water. Okay. Ashlo nimcha megillah. Now we're up to number two. Number two is, you need to erase the name of Hashem in the megillah. Gemara says, that's obvious. Meaning, of course it's going to hold back the drinking. Because the megillah with Shem Hashem is one of the ingredients. So it's going to hold back her drinking. Of course it's going to hold it back. Because the drink is not, it's not properly mixed, it's not properly done, until you have Mechikas Hashem. What's the alternative? So, Ella, my mashkala, that's exactly Gemara's question. What else are you going to have her drink? Amar vashkala, n'tzuchayash le'shirishumo nikar. So the Gemara says, a chiddush, and that's a halach of Ravashi. And that is the following. Let's say we took the Megillah, we put it in the water, and it's erased. Mostly. However, we're looking at the Megillah and we see that there's still some letters that are noticeable on the Megillah itself. That's no good. I guess the Gemara doesn't say this, but I guess you agitate the water, right? You mix it up a little bit, right? Make sure that Shem Hashem is totally erased. In other words, the Mechika means we need a Mechika. We need a total erasure of Shem Hashem, and so therefore, Rishum Nikar, if some of the letters are still noticeable on the Megillah, so it's not good. Meaning that's going to hold back her drinking. And finally, Ashadol Tegaba Alav Shvua, and then the third thing that was mentioned is that she has to accept the Shvua. The Gemara says, that's a little misleading. Meaning, if she doesn't accept the shvur, it's going to hold back the drink. Hold back the drink. Right, exactly. So the Gemara says, Mishu deloshase v'hamichta kasvila. Do you mean to suggest that we're even going to write the Megillah before she accepts the shvur? That's impossible. Hamarav Megillah sota shenichtav kodesh shetikava lo shvur lo asav lo klum. Rava says that you don't even write the Megillah down until she accepts the shvur. So only then and only then you even write the Shvua. So we're having a discussion of what's going to hold back the drink. Hold back the drink. It's going to hold back a lot more than that. There's no drink. There's no cloth. We're not going to write anything down until she accepts the Shvua. So the Gemara says, Kedei Naspa. The Gemara says, correct. Meaning that last point over there, It was thrown into the discussion, but the truth of the matter is, it is a little misleading, and you're right. We wouldn't even write the klaf down if she doesn't accept the shvua. Okay, so really, if we distill the point, it really comes down to two things that hold back the drinking. Number one is that you got to bring the mincha. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Shimon. Number one, you got to bring the mincha. Okay, and that's what we already knew that from the mission of yesterday. Number two is that the name has to be fully erased. Right, mostly erased is not good enough. It has to be fully erased. Okay, now. Mish, basically, the Gemara is going to turn to your issue, and that is B'mai Kamiflagi. So the Gemara says, now, when all is said and done, what's the Machlokas? Now, again, just to reiterate, there are really two opinions, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon, and as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, we could put Rabbi Akiva basically with Rabbi Shimon. Okay, with some nuanced differences, but in terms of the basic question of what the correct order is, Rabbi Akiva lines up with Rabbi Shimon. Now, Tlasa Krai Ksiva. So the Gemara here now sets up the whole discussion. So it says three times, Vihishka Kama, well the Kama is not the Pasuk, but Vihishka says the first time, V'acher Yishke, and then immediately after the Mincha, the Torah says, and then she drinks, and then Vihishka Basra, and then it says it the third time. So, I'm sorry I don't have a chumash in front of me, but, you know, we've been doing this for the past couple of days. I'm not going to say the pesukim by heart. But basically, pasuk chav dalin, chavav, and chav zayin. Okay, chav dalin, it says it once. For our purposes, it's good. I'll, you know, we're doing a fast version of this. A slower version, I'd be reading the pesukim. So we did vihishka on pasuk chav dalin once, which the Torah instructs us, and now she drinks. Then the Torah describes the offering of her mincha. Then in chavav, it says, at the end of pasuk chavav, it says v'achar yishka, and then afterwards she drinks, which kind of gives a good indication that she's supposed to drink afterwards. And then it says vihishka on pasuk chav zayin a third time. So now, what the Gemara basically wants to know is, how is each Tana going to handle the multiple mentions of Vishka? And specifically, which one of them is instructive in terms of order, and which one of them, and then the other two, are just letting us in on other halachas that have to do with the drinking. Right? That's basically the issue. To which the Gemara says, Rabbanan Tzavre Vishka Kama Lagufa. Okay, so now, the Rabbanan. The Gemara is mentioned over here, the Rabbanan, meaning go back to our Mishnah. The Tanakam of our Mishnah, who says that the correct order is first drink, then bring the mincha. So the Gemara says, very good. According to the Chachamim, the first mention of the word vishka is legufo, meaning that's the instruction of when she's supposed to drink. Shemashka v'achar kach makavis minchasa. So that's telling us that she actually drinks at that point in time. Then the mincha is offered, because that's what happens in Pesukim, the balance of Chavdal and Chavhei. Good. V'achar yashke. Now, what do we do with the Pasuk Chavav? So the Gemara says, what is the Chachamim going to do with the Pasuk Chavav? So that's telling us that make sure the name is erased. Meaning, after the name is inserted, and after the name is erased, not a partial erasure, but a full erasure, that's what the second Vishka is coming to teach us. Vishka Basar, what about the third Ishka? Shem Nimcha Gamigilava Amr Seni Shosem Arinosa Mashkinosa Bakarcha. And the third Ishka is coming to tell us is that after Mechikas Hashem, she says, I'm not drinking, your response at that point in time is no, you're drinking. And Vihishka is it's a hifil. And you're gonna make her drink. Meaning even if she even if at that point in time she says I'm not drinking. Again, just to reiterate, if she admits she did it, so then she's not gonna drink. The only time that we're gonna force drinking is where she's just simply saying I'm not drinking. And even then, we're gonna learn in just a couple minutes from now, that there may be even a finer distinction in when we force her to drink versus when we don't force her to drink. Okay. That was all the three mentions of Vihishka according to the Chachamim. Again, just to summarize, the first, according to the Chachamim, the first Ishka is Legufo. It's telling us the order. The second Ishka is telling us that the name has to be fully erased. The third Ishka, according to the Chachamim, is telling us that if she refuses to drink after Mechikas Hashem, so then you force her to drink. Next, Rabbi Shimon. Now we're going to do the three again according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says va'achar yishka lugufo. Shemakar v'zminchas va'achar kach mashke. Okay, so va'achar yishka mentioned the second time in pasuk chavav. That's the instruction. That is, first the mincha is offered, because that's what's mentioned prior to the pasuk chavav, and then the pasuk chavav, when it says v'achar yishka, and afterwards she drinks, that's instruction. After the mincha, then and only then does she drink. V'ishka kama. Now, what are we going to do with the first yishka according to Rabbi Shimon? She'im yishka v'achar kachikrev is mincha k'shera. That's telling us that b'di'eved, if she first drinks and then the mincha is offered, yotzei, meaning that's okay, b'di'eved. It's not lechatchila, but b'diavad, that's fine. Now, one more left, v'yishka basra. What are you going to do with the last v'yishka? Shim nimcha ka megillah v'amrei nishosem aronoso mashken osa bakarcha. So here, Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Chachamim that the third and final mention of v'yishka is coming to tell us that you're going to force her to drink. Now, v'rabanan. Now, what are the Chachamim going to say about Rabbi Shimon's understanding of the three pesukim? B'diavad lo pasach kram. The Chachamim's counter-argument is very strong. What's the Torah doing telling us the first time the Torah mentions words v'yishka, here's what you're supposed to do b'di'evit. That's unusual. Right? Okay, so that's a Chachamim counter-argument. Okay, this period. Okay, Adkan, so we have now a somewhat better understanding, a better analysis of what the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Shimon are going to do with the three references of the word v'yishka. Continuing in the Gemara, what did we learn earlier? That according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva is in basic agreement with Rabbi Shimon. And according to Rabbi Akiva, there's going to be a scenario in which she says, I'm not drinking, and we're going to force her to drink. And the Gemara says, is that really Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint? So, Rabbi Akiva Savar, Rabbi Akiva Mashkin or Saba Karcha? Really? Rabbi Akiva says they're going to force her to drink? V'atayin, the Gemara says, yeah, but consider the following. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kabba Shal Barzal Matil and Sochpia. There was some sort of apparatus, metal apparatus that held her mouth open. Shim Nimcha Ka Megillah V'amrei Nishos Amar Nosa Mashkin or Saba Karcha. So according to the first opinion of the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, so if she is insisting that she's not drinking after Mechikas Hashem, so we're going to force her to drink. Okay? And then, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Klum anutzrichim el labodka. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, we're not going to force her to drink. Because why are we having her drink? We're having her drink so we know what happens. Meaning the drink, the purpose of the drink is bedika. We want to know what happened. So right now she's not giving us information. She's insistent that nothing happened. But as we discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, Regalayim Ladavar, on the other hand, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that something happened in that room. She received a warning. She secluded herself. We don't know. Now it's a suffix. We don't know what happened. The whole purpose of the ward is to be bodek. Now we're at the point where she's about to drink and she's saying, I'm refusing to drink. That's an admission. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Akiva says, what more do you need than that? V'alo b'duka v'al medes. Okay, so that's Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint, which means that at this point in time, if she refuses to drink, that's tantamount to an admission, and therefore we don't force her to drink. Here's that. Ella. So v'alo b'duka v'al medes. Ella. Achlo krava komets yichol lachzabo. Misha krava komets yin yichol lachzabo. And then Rabbi Akiva says something which is unbelievably confounding, and that is that before the komets is offered, so she can retract. But once the komets is offered, so then she can't retract. Okay, now if your head is spinning within the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, good, your head should be spinning. Because on one hand, Rabbi Akiva just got done saying, we're not going to force her to drink. A refusal on her part to drink is going to be tantamount to an admission. So once we have an admission, that's it. We don't have a drink, even after Mechikas Hashem. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. So first off, that already is confusing because we learned in the beginning of the daf today, or yesterday's daf, but we learned at the top of the amud that according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to force her to drink. So already we're confused. And then just to add more confusion to it, Rabbi Akiva then draws a line between before the komets is offered versus after the komets is offered. Before the komets is offered, so we'll call off the whole thing. After the komets is offered, we're not going to call off the whole thing, we're going to go forward. What? So at this point in time, we are most confused by the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, "Well, tamech tichshel achi gufa." So now the Gemara notes, it's correct right now to be confused. Mishikarva comments and yichol lachzabo v'alo b'duka v'amenes. How can Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa? Meaning, let's not even compare Rabbi Akiva here to the Rabbi Akiva that we saw earlier. In the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva says a refusal to drink is tantamount to admission. And then Rabbi Akiva talks about that you're going to cross a line where there's no turning around. What just happened? Even after Mechikas Hashem, her admission is, I'm sorry, a refusal is an admission. And then Rabbi Akiva says, but once you bring the comments, which has been pointed out, actually happens earlier, so then that's it. We've crossed the line, we can't go back.
Is he referring to admission there, or
so,
is he referring...
Wait, just one second. The Gemara is going to spell out the distinction. Lokasha. The Gemara says, as far as within the Braisa, the Gemara says, here's how we're going to resolve it. Hadaka hajaba machmas resisa, vahadaka mahajaba machmas riusa. Okay, so we're basically going to have to serve as forensic psychologists. We're basically now, the Gemara says, that it depends what kind of refusal we're talking about. Is it a refusal where she's standing firm in a refusal, or is it a refusal meaning she's just shaking right now, and she's trembling, and she's terrified. And admittedly, this is going to be hard, because, like I just mentioned a moment ago, it's basically forensic psychology. Basically now, based on her body language, that's going to be the distinction, the delineation of whether or not she's going to drink or she's not going to drink. Take a look at the bottom Rashi in the Amud. Rashi goes on to explain a little bit of the thought process over here. So, I'm looking at the last Rashi in the Amud. How diktani beduka v'yamenes dekahadra b'machmas b'yusahu she'ina rosasas. So, when we say that a refusal is an admission, that's when she's refusing and she's standing firm. She's not she's not shaking, she's not nervous, she's just simply firmly stating, I am not drinking. She's not shaking. So Rashi says, we're going to interpret that body language as, it's an admission. Meaning, the body language that she's demonstrating right now, of brius, of health, strength, and determination, that means she was going into this whole process basically with her arms folded saying, I'm not drinking. They'll do whatever they want, but I'm not drinking. Voloshna krav komets, voloshna lo krav, lo shasya. Here, there's a... So once she's going in with that attitude, the interpretation is her refusal is an admission. And then she's not going to drink. Because her refusal is an admission. So, and even if the komets is nikrav, even if the mincha has been offered, when she's not going to drink, because her refusal is interpreted as an admission. Now, as far as Rabbi Kiva in this most recent brisa, drawing a line in the komets, meaning, not literally, but before the comments is offered, so then we're going to listen to her, and we can back out. After the comments is offered, so that's it. We've now crossed the line, we're not turning around. So Rashi says, really explaining the Gemara, it's not Rashi, it's the Gemara. But Rashi explains the Gemara to mean, when she is now refusing to drink, but out of fear, then we're going to go forward. So she'anu roenosa rosasas, she's shaking. So now this fear is not necessarily an admission. This fear could just simply be, understandably, she's terrified. She's terrified. How do I know the water's really going to work? Meaning, the water's lethal. Maybe I didn't do it, and maybe the water's going to kill me anyway. Understandably, she's terrified. And it could very well be that she didn't do anything, and she's just simply scared. Good. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. So basically, the body language that she produces is going to make the distinction between whether we're going to force her to drink or not. A position of determination means that her refusal to drink is just simply an admission. She knew going into the whole time, I'm not drinking, I know I did it, but I'll tag along with this whole process, but I'm not drinking anything. So that's understood as an admission, and in such a scenario, we don't force her to drink, because she's basically admitting it. If, however, she's scared, so the Gemara says, under those circumstances, we're going to go forward after Krav HaKometz.
What about Mishka Hashem? What's the line in the
same? Yeah, good. So that's the Gemara's next point. Okay? It's good to have you around, Mitch. The Gemara says, so yeah, you should. I'm sorry, look back to the Gemara. So, in a Valok, sorry, I lost my spot. Four lines from the bottom of the Amud. So, if she's determined and she's refusing to drink, but not because she's scared, just simply because of determination, so to that, the Gemara says, okay, then we're not going to have her drink because a refusal is an admission. But machmas resisa, but if she's scared, ashlo krav hakometz, dakat lo imchak megillah, inam imchak megillah, deshlo kedin, avikaranim demachki, masi hadrabei. So, at that point in time, if it's resisa, so if she's scared, at that point in time, she can balk before the Kometz is Nikrav. After the Kometz is Nikrav, that's it. We're gonna have a drink. Okay, and now the Gemara is bothered by another question. Now that we've internally resolved the Braisa, so now we have to look at Rabbi Kiva of the Braisa, the most recent one, and the original Braisa on the top of Yud Tes Amud Beis, and know that there's a discrepancy. And this is what Mitch pointed out. And this is what now the Gemara is going to point out. And that is, where exactly are we drawing the line? Kasha de Rabbi Akiva de Rabbi Akiva. Haza Mamra Mechika Ma'akva. In the previous Braisa, right, where we started off the Shir this morning, so we said that Mechika Sashem is where we're drawing the line. Where once there's Mechika Sashem, we're not turning around. We're not going back. And meanwhile, the Hachamar Kometz Ma'akiv. And in this most recent Braisa, we said that Nikrav HaKometz, that's where we're drawing the line. So those are two lines. Where we're not turning around and we're going forward. And again, just to remind each other, we're talking only when she's refusing out of fear. A refusing out of determination, there is no line. A refusing out of determination means that she's admitting it, and that's it. We're not gonna have a drink. But if she's refusing out of fear, so there's a point where the line is drawn, but where the line is, there are two viewpoints of Rabbi Akiva, and here the Gemara just simply says, Trei Tanai Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. Meaning on this issue of where exactly the line is to be drawn, Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva had an opinion in terms of how it's expressed, so the Tanayim deviated in terms of where exactly Rabbi Akiva's position was. Okay, a chink in the Masorah, so to say.
How come they don't discuss possible that if she refused to take a shiva?
Right. In other words, right. It's a good point.
Amen. Then what happens?
Right. That's an excellent point. Meaning, right. That refused already at that point in time, and then what happened? Is the assumption here, I don't know the answer to this, is the assumption here that we're at this point in time that she already accepted the Shavuot, and then we're here? I'm not sure. Okay. Good. Very good. I mean, good meaning I don't know. I don't know what's good about that. Okay. Ibayilahu. Amri ini shosa machmas b'yosa v'chazav amri shosa ani. Mahu. And now we're going to get even deeper into, you know, a reading of her body language and the decoding of her psychological state. And like many times in the world of trying to understand people psychologically, it's really hard. I'm not surprised that the Gemara at this point in time is going to say teku. So let's ask the following question. Let's say she takes a position after Mechikas Hashem where I'm not drinking. And she does so from a position of determination and strong will. And we said earlier, that's tantamount to a admission. And then Chazvam Roshosani. And then afterwards she says, you know what? No, I'm going to drink. So, it's a tough question. How...
She had a suffix in her own mind. What's the problem?
I mean, the problem is we don't know how to interpret all this. Mahu came to Amri and he shows that to me ani kamra is her saying that she's not going to drink with determination. Is that understood as just simply an admission? Okay, everyone, let's go home. Right, we're done. She admitted it. They came to Ichzik Nafsha Betuma Lamasa Hadrabe. So at this point in time now, if she said once she says to me ani, that's it. We all go home. Right, and as what do we do with the water? Stay tuned. The next mission is going to discuss that. But okay, but in other words, we turn around, we go home. So is her refusal to drink from a position of confidence and determination? Is that just simply an admission and done? Oh, Dilma, Kevin to Amra, Shosani, Galia Daita, the Machmas be Yusufu to Amra. So the Gemara says, on the other hand, no. She first says, I'm not going to drink sternly, confidently. And then afterwards she says, no, let me drink. So does that now allow us to look backwards and say, yeah, that refusal to drink, that was just fear talking. That wasn't, in other words, really, she was just scared. Okay, she put up a front of being confident, but really the truth of the matter, she was scared. Take what the Gemara says, unresolved. Meaning we don't know. The Gemara says, I don't know how to address such a circumstance. Okay, it's always hard trying to read somebody and using body language as a method of interpretation.
This would only mean Rabbi Akiva, the other Rabbi Shimon.
In other words, right, this distinction, I'm right, correct. That's the other Tanaim agree with Rabbi Kiva on this distinction between body language. It's a good question. I don't know. We certainly know, right, the Gemara only says it within Rabbi Kiva. That's true.
If it's talking, can they divorce? No problem.
I don't know. In other words, if she admits in Toch Kedei Dibor, she recants on her admission?
Right.
Okay, another good question. I'm not sure. Amar Vua Dishmoa. Sarch Shiyitain Mar Latoch Hamayim. Okay. Funny halacha comes up just once in the Masechta, and it's just kind of like just airdropped into the whole discussion. You think it's a bigger point would be made out of it, but okay, the Gemara just drops it and moves on. And that is, you got to put something bitter in the water. Meaning the water has to literally be bitter. Now, as Rashi points out, what you could have said is that the Torah's description of the water being bitter, meaning, you know what's bitter? Death is bitter. Right? Marmi Mavis, the Pasuk tells us. So it could very well, if you know the Pasuk in context, you know what's more bitter than death. But, okay, and if you don't know the Pasuk, so then you can look it up. But anyway, we move along. But death is bitter. You could have understood the description to be just simply, yeah, the water's bitter because she may die. But the Gemara's understanding, Avu Yishmol says no. It's bitter because it's actually bitter. And you got to put something bitter in. He doesn't mention what that bitter thing is. I guess we go to the halachas of maror to make that determination. But whatever it may be, my time of damakra me'amarim shemarim kvar. And he says, and Rashi explains, because when the Torah describes the water as being bitter, the Torah's description of bitter doesn't occur after she drank the water. Meaning, if the Torah described it as me'amarim after she drank the water, then you could have said the bitterness is not literal, it's figurative. Meaning, it's bitter because she's dying. But no, but the Torah describes it as bitter water even before she drinks it. Meaning, it's not a figurative description of the water, it's a literal description of the water, and therefore, we now know the mystery. Well, we don't know what it is, he doesn't describe it, but there's a mystery of fourth ingredient in the water. Am I right about four? Yeah, fourth ingredient in the water. Water, dirt, Megillah with the ksav on it, and now something bitter.
Why couldn't you argue that the ink or the dirt make it bitter?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the Metzias, so I'd have to know, we'd have to test run to find out. But okay, that's the halacha. Okay, we are starting the Mishnah. We're in Chaf Amud Aleph. Today's daf is Chaf. We're in Chaf Amud Aleph. We're starting now the next Mishnah.
Who do you follow in terms of the procedures? Who do you follow? Is it Rabbanan or Akiva, or in terms of whether she drinks after or before the age?
Yeah, the Rambam, I suspect that as such, the Rambam goes like the Chachamim. Meaning, and that going like the Chachamim is against Rabbi Kiva, against Rabbi Shimon. Okay? And the, okay.
The water going in there and having an effect, after she drinks the water, she had to go through the mincha process.
Yeah, I know. It's. Okay, you're right. Ad shelo nimchaka megillah amrei nishosa megillta nignezus minchasa mispazeres. Okay, before mechikas Hashem, she says enishosa. Enishosa within the context of this mission is understood to mean I'm not drinking. Meaning, okay. In other words, I admit. So what happens? Meaning, okay. So basically, we're calling the whole thing off. However, the we just wrote a Megillah. We have a mincha. In other words, we have Dvarim Shebekdusha. So what happens to everything? So the Mishnah over here is just going to be basically describing proper disposal. Like, here's how we're going to have to dispose of everything. So, Megillah to Anignaza, so put the Megillah in Geniza, meaning it's Shem, Shem, Hashem. So it's a Davar Shebekdusha, right? The Gemara in Megillah makes a very basic distinction between something which is a mitzvah versus something which is Kedusha. A mitzvah, you can throw away. You should do so respectfully, meaning paired tzitzis that are old. So wrap it up and throw it away. In other words, tzitzis don't need to go in Geniza. Okay, it's a dvar mitzvah. So respectfully, you throw it away. You wrap it up and you can put it in the garbage. However, when it comes to davar shebekdusha, meaning a cloth for Shem Hashem on it, so that has to be placed into Geniza. So Megillta Nignezah. So here you have a cloth. We're not going to use it. She admitted she did it. So we're going to put in Geniza. Now, what do we do with the mincha? In other words, the mincha is not going to be offered because, again, we're calling the whole thing off. She admitted it. So what do we do with the mincha? So mispazeres, literally spread it over the ashes, not the ashes on the mizbeach, and we're not offering it. Rashi over here writes on the Mishnah, al beis hadeshen, we're going to spread it over ashes on the deshen. Rashi's gears is a little bit different than our Mishnah, but the idea is essentially the same. Shehi ba'azara. In other words, there is a pyre going in the courtyard. She surfim sham psule kachikadashim upsule imurim shemichitza sam lifnim in a klayim. When you have either kachikachim or imurim of ishlamim, that gets disqualified. So we're not going to put on the mizbech because it's disqualified. On the other hand, we don't want to take it out of the azara. So there actually is a fire burning in the azara where that's going to be used for disposal of Kachim that got disqualified. So Shemichitza some lifnim and a climb, Kadamin and Bishchitas Kachim. The Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Kachim. Shosha Beis Hadeshen Haim, the whole of the Kachim Bekli, Nisrefes Bazara. Since the Mincha went into a Kli Sharis, imbued now with the Kedushas Aguf, and remember, a Mincha is Kodesh Kadashim, so therefore, we're not offering on the Mizbech because it got disqualified. Its disposal occurs in the Azara. V'haim is Bazaris under Nisrefes. And even though we say spread it out, we really mean, says Rashi, burn it. Kedama lakaman ve'elushin min chosem nisrafos ve'kachash v'la'o meres eni shosem. Okay. And this being one of them. Back to our Mishnah. Nimchaka ha-megila ve'omeres eni shosem. Now, once we have mechikas ha-megila, once we are erasing Shem Hashem in the Megila. No, I skipped. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Back up a couple lines in the Mishnah. I skipped. Nimchaka ha-megillah va'amr t'mei ani. Okay. The name of Hashem got erased in the water, and then she admits, yes, I did it. Ha-mayim nishpachim. So as far as the water is concerned, so the water gets spilled out. So once again, we'll go back to a point that we made earlier this morning. An admission means she's not going to drink because, again, the whole purpose of the drink is just to know what happened. Once she admits, then we know what happens. So now the water is going to get spilled out. Mincha samis bazeres al beis hadeshen, and the mincha once again is going to be spread out over the beis hadeshen. Okay.
Now, where is the water? What about the water? Where the water goes?
Where the water gets spilled out? I don't know. I assume in the courtyard. There are canals in the courtyard. Right, remember this? We talked about this. There are canals in the courtyard where basically blood that gets disqualified, it goes into the canal and, you know, then kind of... Right, there's some sort of outlet. There's some sort of draining system. Okay, so Nimchaka Megillah V'Ami Nishosa. Now, the third scenario in the Mishnah is we erase Shem Hashem, Kohanim did, and she's just simply refusing to drink. Ma'arin Osa Umashkin Osa Bakarcha. So then we force her to drink. Okay, and again Rashi over here injects what we learned earlier this morning into this Mishnah over here. We're going to force her to drink. The Rashi writes, "Ma'arin osa de dilma ta'arhi umachmas risisa ka'amra." Rashi over here seems to line up the mission over here with Rabbi Akiva, meaning she's doing so out of fear. That could be the mission's not going like Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Anyway, it's an important point, but I don't know. Ma'arin osa mashin osa ba'karcha. Anyway, we force her to drink the water. Okay. Now. We're up to the points in the Mishnayos where now basically she drank the water and what happens next. So the Torah gives some description of what happens, and the Mishnah gives an actually more detailed description of what to expect next. Einam aspekos lishtos ad shepaneh marikos. So the Mishnah describes that. She hasn't even finished drinking, meaning the Mishnah's description over here is that there's an immediate reaction to the drinking of the water, where first of all her face is marikos. Marikos could be a discoloration of the face. Excuse me. Could be a discoloration of the face, but or it could just simply be that the face kind of implodes. The einah baltos, and the eyes start bulging out. The imet malez gidim, and she and her veins start expanding. Rashi describes that they were describing the veins on her face. The heim omrei motzia shalot titame alzara, and in other words, knowing that she's very close to her death, so the instructions are get her out of the azara, because what's going to happen is that she's going to die in just a couple of moments. We don't want her to dying in the Azara. The Azara is, you can't have Tumas Meitz in the Azara. Rashi notes, and we're going to discuss this later in the Gemara, and I'm sorry for speaking about this so clinically, but, you know, in other words, we're learning Mishnah and Gemara right now. But basically, we know that a Meitz can be, and it can be, Meitz can be in Har Bias. Tame Meitz can be in Har Bias. Meitz itself can be in Har Bias. Right? We just learned recently, Masech and Nazir, Moshe had Atmos Yosef with him. Moshe was a Machna Leviya. Machna Leviya is Har Bias, meaning the parallel between Machna Leviya and Har Bias. So Moshe had Atmos Yosef with him. So we need to take her out of the Azara and move her to Har Bias. It's not such a major move. We're talking about basically getting her into Ezra's Nashim, right? Truth be told, even under Shani Connor, that already has the status of Har Bias. Okay, the Gemara is later on. I'm going to discuss that in more detail. Now, Mishnah goes on to discuss. If she has a zechus, so it'll suspend her death sentence. Meaning that if she committed adultery in that room and she drinks the water, so the Mishnah's first opinion is that she's going to die immediately. There will be no separation between her drink and her death. But then the Mishnah goes on to describe that sometimes chus can suspend that. Yesh chus tola shana acha, sometimes 1 year. Yesh chus tola beishanim, sometimes 2 years. Yesh chus tola gemoshanim, and sometimes 3 years. Mikan Omer ben Azai, and from here ben Azai has taught. Chayv adam lam is bita Torah, that a man is obligated to teach his daughter Torah. Shim tishta teda shes chus tola la. So that if she were to drink, the chus would be tola. Okay, obviously much discussed over here on this opinion of Ben Azai. We're going to hold discussion tomorrow. The Gemara is going to discuss this in more detail. We'll wait for the Gemara to have this discussion. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kol Amelame Torah Bita Torah, Lomda Tiflus. So anyone who teaches his daughter Torah is teaching him Tiflus. Tiflus, hard word to translate, but basically a form of immorality. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss this also in more detail. Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote that Isha Bekav Vitiflos Mitisha Kav Menaprishos. Rabbi Yeshua says that a woman would prefer a Kav, and a Kav is a measurement, Vitiflos, and engage in immorality, Mitisha Kav Menaprishos. More than 9 Kavin, meaning just more health, physical, right? In other words, substance, right? Correct. And then precious and abstinence. Hu aya Omer, and the Gemara says, as long as recording Rabbi Yoshua, another statement to Rabbi Yoshua, and that is chassid shote. If you have a chassid who's a fool, rasha arum, or a cunning rasha, isha prusha, or a woman who conducts herself in abstinence, umakos prushim, and inflicting pain upon yourself for no reason. Hare elu mevale olam. These are people who are destroyers of the world. Okay. Obviously, much discussed within the Mishnah. Now, the discussions of the Mishnah about Ben Azai and teaching Torah to women. So, again, we'll save it for tomorrow. Gemara is going to discuss in more detail tomorrow. So, we'll wait for the Gemara to have any more discussion on that. The Gemara jumps right away immediately to a slightly different discussion. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, quotes, in the name of Rabbi Meir. Kishayizi lemetor deitzel Rabbi Akiva, I was taught by Rabbi Akiva. We know Rabbi Meir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. In fact, he was one of the five. Right? Rabbi Akiva started with 24,000 Talmidim, they died, and then he restarted again, the Gemara in Yevamos. He restarted again, and with 5 Talmidim. Of the 5, Rabbi Meir being one of those Talmidim. So I learned Torah by Rabbi Kiva, Yisabato Kankanto Mato Chadiel. And what Rabbi Meir says is, I was a sofer, right? I was a scribe. And I wrote, when I made my dye, my ink, in order to write, so I would throw a substance and a chemical substance in, and it was great. Because what it did is it made a permanent marking on the cloth. V'lo amrli davar, and Rabbi Akiva was perfectly fine with it, even though basically my ink turned into permanent ink, meaning couldn't erase it. K'shabat yitzel Rabbi Shmuel amrli benimi mamalachtecha. So I went to Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rabbi Shmuel said to me, my son, what do you do? Amarti lo lavlar ani, I said, I'm a sofer. Amarli b'ni avizari shemlachtechem lachashamayim hi. And Rabbi Shmuel says, you got to be really careful. That's important work. It's malachashamayim. Shema tachzir osachas, or tatir osachas. So nimtzei zata machriv is kol ha'olam kulo. With the addition of a word or a subtraction of a word, with an addition of a letter or the subtraction of a letter, you can destroy an entire world. The Rashi gives examples. Kagon Aleph Vehei Elokim Emes. So the right by taking out the Aleph of the word MS, so you're saying something destructive about Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oti Yasser, Osachas Kagon Breishis Baro Elokim, or just by adding a Vav, saying Breishis Baro Elokim, Baro, giving the sense that there's more, there's multiple deities that created the world. In other words, right, with one letter, you can totally deconstruct the intent of the Torah and lead to a blasphemous interpretation of the Torah. Okay, so obviously, when you write the Torah, you got to go letter for letter. It's got to be perfect. Amarti lo davar acher, and yeshli. And then the discussion continues between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Meir. And he said, Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Shmuel, and oh, by the way, you should know, I found a perfect chemical substance that I add to my ink. Shani muta l'tochad yo v'kankantam, Shmuel, the name of his kankantam, amarli v'chi matil kankantam l'tochad yo. And Rabbi Shmuel says, what? You do what? You're not allowed to do that. Torah Amra, Amacha, Kasav, Shiachol, Emchos. So Rabbi Shmuel's response is, no. When you write a Sefer Torah, you have to use an ink that at least is erasable. And by you making the ink now permanent ink, that's no good. That kind of ink is unacceptable. Excuse me. My Kamarle, my Kahamahadale. Now, that last dialogue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shmuel, that's unusual. It's difficult to understand. Like, what's going on over there? Gemara goes on to explain. So Rabbi Meir says first to Rabbi Shmuel, look, let me assure you. I know the Torah, I know it really well. I'm not going to add a letter, I'm not going to take away a letter. That goes without saying. Rabbi Meir says, and on top of that, I'm also very confident about my expertise in Safras because I found out how to make permanent ink. And you're worried about, or I'm worried about, maybe I write a Dalet. Let's say I write the letter Dalet. And before the ink dries, what's going to happen is that a little zvuv, a little fly, is going to go on the edge of the Dalet, right, taking off that edge, the tag, and turning that Dalet into a resh. And now, instead of a dal, it's a resh. So I says, I'm not worried about that also, because davar achi yeshli shani matil l'toch ado v'kankantan shmo. So the Gemara says, okay, and I now have figured out how to make permanent ink, meaning the moment that I write, it becomes permanent immediately, and so therefore no smudges, and no dal is going to turn into a resh. That's how the dialogue went between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Meir. Ina, let's just go a little bit further today. Vatanya Amar Rabbi Meir, Kesheisu Lemi Torah Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, Yisimato Kan Kantel Tochad Yo, V'Lamer Li Davar. So the Gemara now quotes another braisa where here the Rebbeim get reversed. First, he's learning by Rabbi Shmuel. He was adding kankantum to his ink, making it permanent. Rabbi Shmuel said nothing. Rabbi Shmuel was perfectly fine with it. And Kishabati has Rabbi Kiva, Asra Alain. So, and then when I went to Rabbi Kiva says, no, you can't do that. That's Asr. So obviously the problem is that here things got flipped for Rabbi Meir. So Kasha Shimash Shimash Kasha Asra Asra. So first of all, who do you learn by first? Meaning, do you learn by Rabbi Shmuel first, or do you learn by Rabbi Kiva first? So Bishlam Hashimash Hashimash Lo Kasha Mikara Asil Kamid Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara gives an explanation over here, a wonderful explanation, in terms of how to resolve who was his Rabbi. So first he sat in shir by Rabbi Kiva. Kevin Delamati Kama Libay, but he did not understand a word of what Rabbi Kiva was saying. And he's not the first one in history, or who sat in Rabbi Kiva's shir and didn't know what was going on. Right, we have a Gemara in Menachos that says that Moshe Rabbeinu also sat in Rabbi Kiva's shir, and he too didn't know what was going on. Okay, so it's not fine. So he's in good company. So lo kama libe also kama de Rabbi Yishmael of the Gamar Gemara. So then he went to Rabbi Yishmael and basically he learned. Meaning, okay, now I get it. Now I understand. You know, now I know Torah, and now also coming to Rabbi Kiva. Then he went back to Rabbi Kiva and started Svara. And now, after having the tools now in his tool case, he now understands Torah. Now he goes back to Rabbi Kiva Shir. Now I'm getting it. Now I'm understanding it. Ela Asra Asra Kasha. So the Gemara says Kasha. So the Gemara says now that certainly explains Rabbi Meir. So he was by Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry, he was by Rabbi Kiva, then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went back to Rabbi Kiva. That explains how you can now flip the orders of who do you learn by, and who do you go to next. However, the Gemara points out, in terms of who allowed kankatum and who didn't allow kankatum? The Gemara says kasha, meaning we have no way of resolving that issue. The Gemara just simply leaves unresolved. And one brisa, Rabbi Kiva was the one who allowed it, and the second brisa, Rabbi Shmuel was the one who allowed it, and the Gemara says kasha. The Gemara says that's in fact difficult. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Tomorrow, oh, such good discussions coming up. Tomorrow we talk about using a Sefer Torah and cutting out the parsha of Sota to use for the Sota. Can you do that, yes or no? That's our discussion tomorrow. Teaching Torah to women, that's coming up tomorrow as well. I'm going to ask you to come back, even though you probably come back anyway. But good daf coming up tomorrow.